is the last Sunday after Pentecost. On the threshold of a new church year, year A will begin next Sunday. Are you excited? It is in some ways a very important occasion. But I have to tell you something about the last Sunday in Pentecost, also known as Christ the King Sunday, that's about my journey. When I was a seminarian in the late 80s, my first sermon preached at my home church was on the last Sunday after Pentecost. And it's kind of been my, it's my Groundhog Day. I have preached more Sundays in more places on the last Sunday after Pentecost than I think a lot of people have done. It seems I'm always... There are two Sundays that preachers like to step away from the altar. This might be one of them from the pulpit, but the other one is Trinity Sunday. And so here I am on the last Sunday after Pentecost. And you should know that last year, on the last Sunday after Pentecost, I was here preaching year B. And now we're in the end of year C. I really have this idea of kingship as being something outdated. At least I am having difficulty relating to it, and maybe it's because I've spent so many last Sundays after Pentecost finding what to preach. I've been struggling with this Sunday for a couple of weeks, knowing that I would be coming here. So I was glad to be getting away for a while, so I didn't have to think about this. Now, my spouse is the regional minister for the Disciples of Christ in Illinois and Wisconsin. She's what we would call a bishop. She has a responsibility for 135 churches. She was looking forward to a time away, and I was so excited to not have to think about this Sunday. So we signed up for a program developed by Spiritual Directors International. It's a group who works with spiritual directors, of which I am one, and my wife is one. And we signed up for this program, which was going to allow us to go to New Mexico and to go deeper and to look at where we were in our lives and what God might be calling to us. And on the 3rd of October, I got an email. And the email said, "We're sorry, the program is undersubscribed. We're canceling the program. If you would like your refund, we're happy to send it to you." Well, we had booked an airline. We booked a rental car. We had booked a stay in Santa Fe. And so we hustled quickly to see if we could still get a room at the place we were going. We're going to a place in New Mexico called Ghost Ranch. Ghost Ranch is a Presbyterian property, originally a dude ranch that was also where the artist Georgia O'Keeffe had one of her homes. And so we decided we were going to go, whatever it took. And let me tell you, it took a lot. The day we were going to leave, we were flying from Bloomington to Dallas-Fort Worth to Albuquerque. There were horrendous storms in Dallas-Fort Worth. The plane to Bloomington was delayed for hours, and we would never have made our connection to Albuquerque. So out of the blue, the airline called us and said, we can get you on a plane in Peoria. So we came to this lovely city, to Peoria and the airport, and we were delayed as we sat there. And then they told us, you probably aren't going to make your connection to Albuquerque either, from Peoria. So it was at that time that there was this great sense of defeat. And my spouse said to me, I think we should go home. Well, I was in business and traveled a lot, and I said, oh, come on, let's at least we can make it to Dallas-Fort Worth. Well, as it was, we made it to Dallas-Fort Worth, and that plane from Dallas to Albuquerque was delayed. We made it to Albuquerque. We spent time there overnight, rented a car off to Santa Fe for a couple of days. And then on the Sunday following to Ghost Ranch. It was an amazing place. Remember, we canceled, so we were not expecting anything else but just ourselves on a kind of a quiet, personal time. We were going to spend 9 days there. It was going to be our way to refresh and deepen amidst the beauty and splendor of the incredible high desert mountains. Our room was on a mesa, which meant that I had to go up a hill and down a hill every time I wanted to eat something. And it was a big hill. But the first day we were there, we met two other people. Out of 17 rooms that were empty, there were three rooms that were filled. Teresa and Al, a man named Eric, and a woman named Joan. Joan and Eric had signed up for the SDI program, and they too moved to come to this place on their own. They were carrying heavy weights. So, four people met who were unknown to each other, and we formed a very small community. Sort of by accident? We shared stories of our lives and our journeys at meals. No small talk, but deep sharing and listening. 1 hour meals became an hour and a half and 2 hours of conversation. We worshiped together in the magnificence of beauty day and night. We communed in this incredible, natural, beautiful place. The moon coming up, the sun setting, the vast body of the night sky all stunned us into awakening to what is. To move us from the narrow, self-serving view of our own individual lives to see the big picture, if you will, and to see it is only a very small portion of the canvas. It was like we were studying scripture, but not in words. Saint Anthony, the saint who was in the desert, was asked how he could live his life without his books, how he could live deprived of his books. And his reply was, my book is the nature of created things. And this is before me whenever I want and whenever I wish to read the words of God. We were touched deeply by the communion of spirits, the vulnerable sharing, and the stunning awe of what we saw all around us, and of the one who made it all. Perhaps instead of king, we should think in terms of master of the universe. Although that, nowadays, in film, has some really dark meanings. But finding a way to relate to this incredible understanding of the cosmic Christ is something that I think we're called to do. It's certainly what I was called to do. I don't really think of the Christ in the terms of the master of the universe, but the experience I had in New Mexico did open to me more the mystery and the magnitude of our Christian heritage. The passage from the letter to the Colossians speaks of the magnitude of the Creator and of Christ. Colossians were a community in Turkey, in present-day Turkey. It's not believed that Paul actually wrote to this community, but a follower of Paul's. And it may have been at a much later date than Paul's even being alive. It was a community that was being tested and pulled apart in some ways by all that was going on around them. The world was in a mess. There were people who were leading their own ideas about religion and what about Christ was about. Can you relate to any of this now in the present day? By the way, last week was the 100th anniversary of fundamentalism in the United States. And so the author of Colossians writes to this community to hold true to what is fast and true, what they know in their hearts about who Jesus is, the apostolic teaching. And he finishes that piece of our scripture this morning in verses 15 through 20 with a hymn, a poetic expression of the divine, a hymn that is so filled with the deep theology of the church, even in that early time. Look at that in your scriptures this morning, those last verses, starting with "He is the image." These are the words of a community trying to understand in its limited way the magnitude of who Jesus is. And I say is because that's what the writer says. Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, or rulers, or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things. He was there before there was anything. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, the only person to rise from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. It was good for me to go into the desert. I encourage you to find your place of awe and wonder and magnitude. Bring the hymn along with you. Yeah, it's a very deep spiritual reflection, but it's worth repeating and reminding oneself of what is there. And what I experienced in that place was what we're experiencing now. I experienced community. I experienced sacred space. I experienced scripture in its natural form. And I was in presence and in communion with what is. Today, we celebrate Master of the Universe, Christ the King, the One before all and for all, through all, in all. Colossians later says, Jesus is all in all. In a few minutes, we will celebrate here presence, mystery, in community, and in communion. May we all know something, some small part of this incredible mystery as we dine together and celebrate God's presence among us in and through all things. Jesus is Lord.